Hello, everybody. How are we all? Hey, Stormy, how are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
I am very, very good. Wednesday night, always happy for a Wednesday night. So much fun. Weekly showtime.
Weekly showtime. We're back.
Yeah. Oi, I'm seeing people in chat already abusing the Zelda thing. I haven't actually mentioned it yet. Or are you guys just trying to catch up for last week?
No, I did tweet the command, so I don't know whether people are just going to announce themselves and just... I realize you gave everyone in chat power. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a...
I really should maybe... we'll just have fun with it for now because...
Going to run wild?
Yeah, well, because, you know, we've got to catch up.
We've got to catch up, yeah.
I've mentioned it a lot and I feel like I'm going to turn into like the knights who say knee and just not mention it. Don't mention the war. You know, I did it once, but I think I got away with it. Anyway, that's an old Fawlty Towers reference for you old people like me. Well, we got a little bit to talk about tonight. We want to just take a bit of a dive into The Last of Us because we've been having some fun. Well, I've been having some fun watching that. I haven't played the game, but I've been really loving watching the show. And we've got some interesting funding opportunities that have come out from Screen Australia recently, and a few indie games have been funded through that. And of course, yesterday, big news, Nintendo Direct coming on this Friday for us here in Australia, 6 a.m. Australian Western Standard Time, 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time. So that will be very exciting to see that. So no doubt you'll be get to use that new command a lot when we get to that next that last
then.
Story, or even before then. Yeah, I'm sure I'll find a way. Like, I'm sure we will. But in the meantime, let's just jump right into it, shall we? Let's have a bit of a chat about our bloody good games of the week. So Stormy, why don't we start with your one?
Yeah, sure. So my bloody good game of the week this week is BioShock. BioShock, I have never played before. It's a franchise I've been told to play by quite a few people for quite a while. And for those who don't know, like in my streams, like there's a big focus on me playing like beloved franchises that I've never experienced and getting to share them with everyone else. So I think last week, my bloody good game of the week was Devil May Cry 5. But then, yeah, we started the first BioShock game on Friday. Now, for those who may be new to this, like me, so BioShock is a 2K game, and it came out in 2007. So, like, for people who have played the game, they're probably like, oh, 2007, that's a long time ago. Yes, it was. But the game is
not
really,
that long
really
ago.
Fun. No, it was so long ago.
No, it wasn't. It really wasn't that long ago. Please don't say it is.
But I'm really enjoying it. It's a first-person shooter, and it's got this really cool mix of, I guess, like weapons and superhuman abilities and stuff. So all I know, and this is how I kind of went into it, so I found myself playing as this character who I don't think I know his name yet, or maybe I do. Well, his name's Jack. And there's this plane crash and I end up in this place called Rapture. And basically Rapture, this place has basically gone downhill since the creation of something called Adam, which basically gives people superhuman abilities.
Yeah. It's not looking the best from the videos. It's,
no,
it's kind
Rapture
of a little... Kind of a little rundown, yeah.
Yeah, one thing that definitely caught my attention when I played it was the music. The music gave me, like, the kind of Fallout vibes with, like, the kind of, like, old-timey kind of style music. And even, like, what you can see now on the screen if you're watching on twitch.tv/GameOnOz is, you know, kind of like the old-school, like, TV kind of setups and stuff they've got around the city and things like that. Yeah, just the whole vibe and atmosphere is really, really cool. The story is really interesting as well. I'm very, very intrigued. And it's a little scarier than I was expecting it to be. It's not... look, I wouldn't say it's scary, but it made me jump a few times when I wasn't expecting it. So
got a little bit of horror vibes, yeah.
It's got some very slight horror vibes. And it's really cool because, like, Rapture is like deep, deep, like underwater as well. So when you are outside of these buildings, you can see like through this kind of underwater city. It's really cool. It's such a cool concept and a cool world. So I'm only about a few hours into it, but I've got a few really cool abilities that I've picked up. And then you can like upgrade your abilities through like little, it looks like little vending machines almost. It's awesome. Some of the enemies, like you guys might be familiar with already and might have heard of, are like the big daddies and the little sisters, which I had no idea what a big daddy was. I just thought the name sounded funny, but they are actually very, very scary. And the little sisters are also quite scary too. And the one of the really cool things was, and no spoilers, by the way, you're basically given a decision because the little sisters are like fueled up on Adam, whether you harvest them or whether you save them. Either way, you get a bit of Adam from it. I think if you harvest them, which is like kind of the like evil choice, because obviously they don't survive, that gives you more Adam. I think I've harvested one and maybe saved three, and everyone in the chat was like, oh, you know, you got to kind of commit to which, you know, you're going to do, and, you know, don't tell Stormy what's going to happen if she does one over the other. And it's like, it's really interesting. I think I'm going to keep saving them because they're so, like, even though they're scary, it's just a little girl.
This is a Bioshock game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, BioWare are always have, like, the choices in their games for stuff. Like, you see it in, no, Fallout's Bethesda. So not, but even, like, Mass Effect, BioWare game, and Knights of the Old Republic and the Old Republic MMO, they make that as well. Like, choice is such a big thing to them. And yeah. I can imagine that, like, either saving the little sisters or absorbing them, I reckon that's going to have some big payoff down, like, the track.
Look, I don't do, like, little scary kids, so if I could just stay on a good side, I think that's the path I'm going to kind of go down. I'm really loving it. I'm kind of annoyed, and I can't help but feel all these new games they've just been starting. I'm going, oh, God, I wish I would have played them earlier, because these are games that I'm really interested in and, like, are definitely my kind of vibe in terms of the play style and things like that too, so... Yeah, Bioshock is definitely my bloody good game of the week so far. So I can't wait to keep going with it, because there is a second Bioshock, and then there's Bioshock Infinite as well. But yeah, I'm interested to see how they all differ to each other and how they change. I think the general consensus from what I've heard is 2's the best one. I could be wrong.
I also have a confession. I have not played Bioshock either, but I have heard so many good things about this, and yeah, like, there's a whole branch of games there, like this and Mass Effect, that I just didn't play at the time because I was probably poor and didn't have money, and so just didn't get around to playing them. So it's always exciting going back and seeing some of these games and just experiencing them. And it's always a nice surprise when you find one that holds up.
Yeah. Like, I wasn't playing this and going, oh, this feels like dated or whatever the case is. And I think a lot of the time you can't kind of go into a game thinking like that. Like, if the game itself is good, despite how it looks or, you know, whatever it is, like, if it's still enjoyable to play, I think that's a testament to the game for sure. But it's funny you say that on the topic of, you know, not being able to, like, afford games, like, you know, certain points of life when, you know, games are obviously so expensive. I managed to get the whole Bioshock collection for free on Epic Games at some point in, like, the last year or two. So it's just been sitting there in my Epic Games library for God knows how long. So, yeah, this one, I feel like I've been spoiled to have such a good game that I'm playing so far and didn't have to spend any money on it. So yeah, Bioshock is my bloody good game of the week.
Nice. And Epic is so good for that. Like, I remember when Saints Row last year was coming out. Haha, I bet you thought I was going to mention Zelda then, didn't you?
No, not on Epic Games. Okay, good try. But as soon as you found a reason to bring it up again.
But yeah, like, when I went to play, the new Saints Row was coming out, and we did a stream when there was like a big customization announcement, but before that, I realized that I had Saints Row 3 in my Epic Games collection. And I thought, oh, this is another series I haven't played before. I'm going to give it a shot and see what it's like. And yeah, Saints Row 3 was a lot of fun. It's just like that balls to the wall thing, but it's just amazing going back over your the games that just gone, oh yeah, I'll get that for free. And it's just sitting in the Epic collection and never gets played.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say as well, like a few other games I've got sitting there. I think when it was like Batman Day, it was an anniversary. I got like, it was like three different Lego Batman games, Batman Arkham Asylum, Knight and City, and Origins. Like I got a whole bunch. And then most recently I got Death Stranding. And I'm like, I feel like I've cheated, but I haven't. Like, they're just giving these games away and I'm just going to take them. Yeah. But also, White Monkey, thank you for the Prime sub, by the way.
Thank you so much, White Monkey.
Thank you so much. Five months.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll move on to my bloody good game of the week now. And look, I'm going to have a bit of a story around this because...
Is it Zelda?
It is not Zelda. I don't think we can count that one. You brought that up, Stormy.
No, it was my fault. Sorry. I'm just going with the meme.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
But, you know, if there's one thing you probably know about me watching this, is that I like Zelda. Yes, you can mark that one down.
Oh, my God.
But if you know something else, it's that I like Star Wars. And probably if there's a third thing, it's that I do not like roguelite games. I just have a hard time with them. I can't work them out. But
it's all true.
I got a review code for Aura of Worlds, which is an indie game developed by a Melbourne studio, and I really fucking love it. It's so good. Like, and I think I've worked out what it is. So like, even games like Hades, I like what Hades is trying to do, but the execution in the gameplay for me still is a little bit, I'm not quite there. And I think it's because when it comes to procedurally generated stuff, usually they'll generate a series of rooms and you have to beat everything in the room before you can go on and get to the next part of the room. And Aura of Worlds doesn't do that. It procedurally generates the whole level. So you can choose to fight things or you can choose to run past them. So where I tend to get stuck in roguelikes is fighting the things. And if I don't have to fight the things, then I can just skip through. And it's a little bit more than that though with Aura of Worlds, because it's just, it's such a really awesomely made game. And it is in early access, but it's just so well polished. And it's one of those early access games where they've got a roadmap of what of stuff they're bringing in and want to bring in. So it's really bloody cool. And I love it a lot. The music in it, oh my God, it is so good. Just the way all the tunes fit into each other, each different biome has its own different theme. Like there's like a garden ruins world and it's kind of like this ethereal sort of stuff, and the grotto, it all fits in together. And then every now and then you get these levels where you need to just outrun something. It might be rising lava, it might be toxic gas that's descending from the ceiling, or for some reason just moving in a straight line vertically across the screen. And the music for those levels is just really tense, and you just get the feeling of, I just want to run and get to the end of the level. But in reality, you've got plenty of time. You can search for some treasure and upgrade stuff. And it's been so much fun. And it's one of those indie games where it's just a little gem that you find. And yeah, so much fun. Absolutely love it and highly recommend it to anybody, even in the early access stage, because it's so well polished.
Did you say it was a Melbourne-made game as well?
It is. Yep. Aussie indie dev.
Oh, awesome.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just the range of weapons you can get as well. Like you get some range weapons, like a spear that has a bit more reach on it. You've got a bow, you've got sword, you've got a dagger that you can sometimes throw. You can get runes that do different things, like double jumps, or if you dodge at the right moment, it'll reflect projectiles. Yeah, and you get consumables, which is another thing I absolutely adored about the game, was that there's destructible environments. So if you get a grenade or there's an enemy that explodes, you could potentially make yourself a shortcut through the level. Yeah, so there's a lot of strategy around it. There's a lot of bits where you can choose to fight, and if you're low on health, you can go, I'm not doing this anymore. Thank you. I'm out of here. Yeah, and then each biome's got their own little boss fight, and the boss fights are very different to each other as well. Like some of them are quite basic. Like the first one you'll come across in the grotto is just a knight with a shield, and you just got to get behind him and damage him, and you can dodge past him. So like you can just sit on the floor next to him, dodge past, attack him from behind, then dodge back and attack him from behind again. And there's a slime. There was a worm that just like dug through the floors, and you had to wait for him to emerge for you to hit him that way. And then there was, I think it was a necromancer who gets healed by these little pylons around the place. So you have to hunt down the pylons and kill them so they stop healing it. So it's just, it's a very well-made game, and I highly recommend it. Aura of Worlds. So check that out on Steam. Yeah. Well, I think that's it for the our Bloody Good Games of the Week. Thanks to Aussie Broadband. Thank you so much for that. And thank you so much, Ingleberry93, for that follow. Very much appreciate that. Absolutely love it.
Thanks, Aussie Broadband.
Yeah. So let's have a bit of a chat about The Last of Us. So I'm going to put it out there. I haven't played the game. Didn't have a PlayStation to actually play the game. But I'll tell you what, the TV show is amazing.
Yeah, I was one of those people that were really late to playing the game. I think I only played it for the first time, oh God, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, just before number two came out, if I'm not Last of Us Part Two, sorry, came out. And I'm like, I'm not just saying this. Like, I think the game itself at the time, people were saying it was like one of the best games ever, or is one of the best games ever. Personally, for me, I think the story is fantastic. Fantastic story. The game itself, I guess gameplay-wise, I wasn't really vibing with. Like, there were some really strong moments. There's some really, like, slow, kind of boring stuff. And I always thought, man, this would make a really good TV show. Or it could make maybe not a good movie, but I always thought, you know, a TV show would be really good because the story and the characters and like the world building and everything was so, so well done in the game. So when they did announce, you know, slowly one after the other, you know, the show, the cast, and then obviously the first four episodes are out, but you've only seen three, right, Jim?
Yeah.
And we probably won't talk about anything beyond maybe the first ep, because I feel like that's like the introductory episode if we do talk about anything. Mm. But oh my God, I don't know about you. Well, I mean, I know it's hard because you haven't played the game, but I feel like for me, this has restored my faith back into video game adaptations. And I know that's something we talk about on the podcast a lot. Sometimes we always manage to find a way to talk about some bad, you know, film version or TV version of the latest video game that's tried to make its way to the big screen. But this makes me so excited to see what will come after The Last of Us as well. So I think you should talk about what you think of the show from like a non-Last of Us gamer.
So I'm very interested to see how it all unfolds. And I'll give some broad strokes, White Monkey. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything, just like some broad strokes about what happened. So the basic opening of The Last of Us is that there's the spores that have been released, and it's actually a real thing too. Like if you look it up, it actually works. And the only thing that's probably saving us from living in The Last of Us world is the fact that it doesn't transmit to humans. And what happens in the beginning of the show is that it transmits to humans, and that's how you get these zombie-like enemies in the game, and the world just kind of goes to shit. And so that's what happens. And it opens, you learn about, you know, the main character Joel, and there's the main character Ellie, and they get thrust together. And I won't tell why, but they get thrust together, start traveling together, and it's all about the relationship that develops between the two of them. And especially after the first, because the show opens as the apocalypse is happening, and so you get this backstory for Joel, and it is just, it's heartbreaking. Just quite, it's heartbreaking.
It sucks.
It really does, but it is so good, and it's what makes the show really good to watch, because and I feel like The Last of Us is, as a game, is uniquely positioned for that, because like you said, Stormy, it's the gameplay in it didn't wow you, but the story was amazing, and if you've got a good story, you're just prime fodder for being converted to something like a TV show, preferably a TV show, I think, for video games, because movies, I don't think, have the ability to develop characters the way TV shows do. And I think I'm not going to say too much about it, but I think that was one of the things about the, in particular, the third episode of it, because from what I'm getting from stuff out there, the characters that were mainly featured in the third episode don't really feature in the game.
No. I'll also be very, very general about the way that I chat about things too, but I think we could do it. Truan said, I haven't watched the show, but I just finished my first playthrough. Yeah, I think that's, again, the story is what really drove me to finish the game rather than the other way around, if that makes sense. Because sometimes, like, it works both ways, and you love the game and you love the story and you want to finish them as, like, a combination. But for me, I was like, I need to know what's going to happen here with Joel and Ellie, and I need to keep playing. I think one of the great things about the show, firstly, Neil Druckmann, who was responsible for, like, I guess, pretty much the core creation of The Last of Us game, is one of the co-creators of the show, and that shows so much. And what fans, I think, will really enjoy is, without it being corny, they do take lines and dialogue straight out of the game and put it right into the show, and it fits really authentically. And, like, it's good for, like, you know, the fans go, oh yeah, I remember that. Like, I remember that. Like, this is the exact same conversation they had before. And it could be something funny, or it could be something emotional and things like that. I think this is a really good example of how true the TV show is to the game. But then, like he said, like, episode 3 takes a focus on a couple of characters who are in completely different circumstances in the game. But the way they handle it to express, I guess, the thematic, I'm trying not to get too into my, like, I'm trying not to put my film degree hat on for a second. But, like, you know, I think the themes they explored in episode 3, the relationships and what they kind of represent in the whole scope of the TV show that's to come, is so well done. So I like that the TV show is taking the risk to make certain changes, but is still remaining very faithful to the game in which it came from. And I think that's where we've been let down in other shows, such as, you know, things like The Witcher, for example, is a really good recent one, where they've just gone completely away from the lore and the material that fans love and have tried to create their own separate thing. I think The Last of Us are like, okay, we know what the fans want, but we also know what would work well for a general audience who aren't fans of the game. But yeah, it's so hard to talk about all the good parts of The Last of Us without going into specifics, particularly episode 3. I think I was not ready for that. I don't think anyone could be ready for that episode.
Apparently there's like a 2-hour cut of that episode, and I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, I would too. It's a lot. I think the first 3 episodes of the series particularly make you realize, okay, this isn't just a zombie show. You know, this is not just another Walking Dead. Like, there is so much heart in,
well,
you know,
it's what the characters made, and stuff. I feel like what made Walking Dead good in the first place, it wasn't the zombies. The zombies were ancillary to what was going on. It was the people. And eventually it just kind of got, I don't know if it got burnt out from emotional torment in it, and then and like for me personally, I ended up not caring about the characters in The Walking Dead, but like The Last of Us, it's a fresh story and they're telling it in such a way that like I feel like it's honoring, like having not played the game, it still feels like it honors the game, but it in the broad strokes at least that I know about it, like admittedly I know the twist at the end. So I know how it's going to end, but I'm really enjoying the journey on how we're getting there.
Even without going into detail, obviously you haven't watched it either, like the most recent episode is a bit slower, but it still doesn't feel like a filler episode, if that makes sense. Like it still has a purpose. And
you know what? I'm okay with filler episodes. Like,
yeah, me too. I don't know why people have such an issue. I think if it contributes to the overall story of the characters, I think it's fine. But I think it's just when you watch those filler episodes and you're like, and if you feel like you could have skipped it and just gone to the next one, I think that's when it's an issue.
Yeah, like, but I always look back, like, Stargate SG-1, one of my favorite TV shows of all time, and one of my favorite episodes in that was an episode called Window of Opportunity in one of the first seasons, second or third season, I think it was. But basically, two of the characters get stuck in a time loop, and it just repeats the same day over and over again, but it's such a well-done episode. Adds nothing to the ongoing story arc of what SG-1 was doing at the time. And just was funny, was had humor in it, had heart in it, and it just felt like that. And I like it when TV shows take that time to show you something like episode 3 of The Last of Us did, where it's just, it doesn't really add to the overall story, but it adds to character development. Mm-hmm. And even though it's not the main character development, it just shows you that world and the people living in it. And it was just absolutely brilliant.
I feel like after the series finishes, we should run back and do a all out like chat about the series, like you know, spoilers, big, everything.
That's a big spoiler alerts everywhere.
Yeah. I think it's there's just so much to talk about, and I think there's it's really exciting. It makes me excited for like the future of video game adaptations. And I hope other movies and TV show producers who are looking to, you know, adapt a beloved video game will take lots of notes, because like it's doing so well, like rating wise and view wise and everything on it's on HBO, but it's on Binge in Australia. I can't highly recommend it enough. Like, my mum's watching it, and she loved like The Walking Dead and stuff, but she knew nothing about the game. And I said to her, like, trust me, you will enjoy this. And she is. One thing to note as well, I'll quickly mention, is from what I've been reading, obviously, if you don't know already, they have announced a season 2. And season 2, from what I believe, they will go straight into the second game. So I think it might have been Neil Druckmann, don't quote me on it, but they were basically saying that they don't want any, like, and not filler episodes, but any, like, material that maybe wasn't in any of the two original games, just to be there just for the sake of being there. Like, they want to get to the point and they want to tell those arcs in like a
streamlined sort of format.
Which I respect, because I think that's the issue with a lot of shows as well, is sometimes like obviously they could be so popular but then they just go on for way too long. But if they decide, okay, season 1 is game 1, season 2 is game 2, and that's it, like, I'm fine with that. And I think sometimes it's better to just be short and sweet. We don't need, like, you know, 50-100 episodes of like Supernatural or, you know, The Walking Dead or anything like that. I think what we're seeing right now is each episode of The Last of Us has made an impact of some kind in some capacity to the story and to the viewers as well. So, yeah, I'm so chuffed.
It's interesting seeing some of the actors do the media circuit and whatnot. And there was a clip in particular of Nick Offerman, who has a bit of a role in the show, in The Last of Us. People might know him better as Ron Swanson. I know I certainly did.
Oh man, he's, I, after, again, sorry, not to ramble, but episode 3, I am in awe of the actor, him and Murray, is it Murray Bartlett, is? Oh my God. Because I don't know about you, Jim. Have you seen him in anything serious before Parks and Rec?
No, and I must admit, I haven't seen, I haven't seen Nick Offerman really in anything. Except
yeah,
for
I don't think I have either.
Except I did find out, like, there, you know, at the end of a show where they they've got the, like, the publishing houses and what, and there's that one that says Fremulon. You go, Fremulon. Apparently Nick Offerman voices that.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so random.
Yeah, very random. But he's such a I love him. He's so good, and it gets even better because. Fans of Parks and Rec will know that in the show, Ron Swanson has an ex-wife who's a librarian. And it's Megan Mullally, I think is how you say it. She was Karen. No, that's the actress's name. Tammy's the character's name, which is all Ron Swanson's ex-wives are called Tammy for some reason. That's Nick Offerman's wife.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I think that's so funny.
I love that. Yeah, but Nick Offerman was on an interview with I think Jimmy Kimmel, and they were talking about video games, as is wont to come up when you're starring in a show that's based on video games. And he was asked, "Did he play it?" And he goes, "Well, no, I haven't really played video games since I fell down a rabbit hole with one years ago." And I'm watching this going, "Oh yeah, I'm going to expect it." Like it was probably a kid down at the arcade and lost, you know, 2 weeks worth of allowances and in quarters or something. And he goes, "No, it was Banjo-Kazooie." It's just, I almost fell out of my chair when I heard that. That is not the game I was expecting. I mean, I can see why it happened, but yeah, the fact that he fell down that rabbit hole, and then afterwards he went, "Oh, there's this hole in his life now that from not being able to play this video game," and he hasn't played one since, which I think is a little bit sad, because I think there's a lot of other games there that would that would scratch that itch as well. But I also understand, because he goes on to say, "If I kept playing them, I probably wouldn't show up to auditions and wouldn't have gotten the gig in The Last of Us." So I feel you, man. True. I feel you, Nick. Yeah. But there's been some other really cool stuff that's come out of it as well. I'm not really going to show it, but if you go and have a look at the Saturday Night Live Twitter,
I'm sure
it's out there somewhere. But
it's so good.
It really is. They've got Pedro Pascal, who plays Joel in this, and who also plays, you know, the Mandalorian, the Din Djarin, who coincidentally adopts, in inverted commas, another child in that one as well. I think he's carving out a nice little niche role for himself there. But this one is like a very dystopian sort of setting, like The Last of Us, but it's Mario Kart. And basically he has to like smuggle something in the cart across it. And you see all like Yoshi and Luigi, Toad and Princess. Yeah, Peach. Yeah.
I don't know about you. Were you as impressed with how good it looked, like, for a Saturday Night Live skit, and how like the Nintendo, like I was really surprised to hear and see like the music and like obviously those iconic Mario looks and stuff. Like, were you as taken aback as to how well done it was?
The production values on it are insane for a Saturday Night Live skit. It's ridiculous, but it's even stuff like Pedro Pascal's there, like he's deadpan thing. It's a me. Mario.
And it's so good.
I love it.
And he's like eating the mushroom and he's like, "I want to get big. I have to get bigger.
It makes me feel big inside."
Yeah. it's like what happens if we fall?
Yeah. And a guy in a cloud comes and brings you back up and takes a few of your coins.
Oh, it's so good. It's so well done. There were actually so many good skits from him being on Saturday Night Live, because he's like the in thing right now of Pedro Pascal. But yeah, that Mario Kart skit was brilliant. So if you haven't seen it, like, go check it out. It's so well done.
Definitely. It's interesting. Like, we touched on a little bit earlier about, you know, making really great video game media and movies or TV shows. And I can't help but look at this and compare it to Halo that came out last year. And I really tried to like it, and I could see what they're doing, because you've got, what, 20 years of Halo, 20 years of Master Chief stuff out there. And they wanted to do something different. But one, I don't like that he took his helmet off. I really did not like that. I like the humanization of the Spartans, but just taking... You've got a character like Master Chief, you do not take his helmet off. It's like...
Mandalorian.
Yeah, the Mandalorian. It's like Carl Urban in the Judge Dredd movies. Like, you're probably a bit young to remember, but there was a Judge Dredd movie in the 90s that had Sylvester Stallone in it, and he spent the whole thing going around without a helmet on, because they've gone, we've paid for Sylvester Stallone, we want to see his face. But when Carl Urban did it, he went, well, I'm kind of, I want to be faithful to the material. So he left the helmet on the whole thing, and it just makes that movie so well. And like, there is so much that, like, you think you're wearing a helmet, you can't emote that much. But I tell you what, Carl Urban found a way. Pedro Pascal found a way. I think
like, why couldn't Master Chief do
like, I mean, they do it in the video games. Like, you get it through his voice and stuff like that. So yeah, that was a very disappointing thing. But I do like that they're continuing with TV shows for them, because I feel like, you know, the Super Mario Brothers movie that's coming out later this year, which the heart wants to believe, but I'll believe when I see it type of thing.
Yeah.
But the trailer's looking really good.
The new poster looks really good.
Yeah. And I'm very keen to see where that goes, and that probably suits a movie more than a TV show. But yeah, something like this, when it's story heavy, you want to flesh it out, it needs to be a TV show.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think, like, Mario, like, you know, you're asking an audience of all ages to pay attention to Mario, which is such a very in-your-face kind of world as well. I think movie is definitely the way to do it. But I don't know. The Last of Us has kind of restored my faith again in these video game adaptations. So as long as they're, like, of that quality, I'm interested.
And other things that have been revived, actually, see what I did there? So recently, it'll make sense in a minute, people. Stick with it. Was last week, the Australian government announced a revive package for the art sector here in Australia. And as part of that, there was a bit about some video game funding, which was really cool and really good to see that. And it sits alongside other stuff, like there's the digital tax offset as well for companies where they can get some tax back. But Screen Australia has just recently announced as well that the games and studios that will be getting some money through games expansion pack fund that they've set up. So this is a $1.5 million of funding out there that is there to help Australian game companies build their game and just continue on. And I was very happy to see, because there's a game I've been following for a while called Miska Tiny Tail. And it's just this cute little, like, chibi robo style game. And they got some money there and have announced, this is great, this is going to let us build the game. And they've given a timeline for it, which unfortunately is 2 years, but game development does take a long time to build out. So I will be definitely looking forward to seeing that when it comes out. And I was actually very happy to see a whole heap of companies in all over getting them, really, because the games industry, I feel, is kind of focused more around Sydney and Melbourne. And I know Screen Victoria in particular has a lot of good grants out there for video games as well. And seeing all these other indie game titles, like there's one called Bilkin's Folly, which is you explore an island and you're treasure hunting and you've got a dog. I really hope you can pat the dog. You better be able to pat the dog. And just finding some treasures through there. Cult of the Hidden Valley.
I was going to say, There is one game that as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh man, it just spoke to me on so many different levels. So I'm gonna read it out, and then I think you realize why. Because I'm gonna read out the description here too. And like, I feel like the more I go into it, you'll be like, yep, that's Stormy's game. So this one's called Dyers and Deities. So it's a rhythm cooking game that players will be able to taste in a universe drained of its diversity and left to wallow in its smashed avo and vanilla soy latte. Players must help deities remember their culture by cooking dishes along to the music. And I was like, I'm in. Like, sign me up. Like,
Yep,
give it
no,
to
I
me.
can definitely see this. This is a stormy game, definitely.
Yeah, it is. Like, look, everything else I've read in here. I love the variety of different genres and stuff that are in here as well. Like the other WA game in here, Ghost Cam. It's a spooky exploratory, yes, game. I can't speak English apparently. Where players search for ghosts in an abandoned bedroom, which unfolds into a labyrinth. Like, that sounds wicked. There's the variety in here is really cool. There's a online co-op survival craft adventure called Trash from Victoria. Like, oh, it just makes me so excited,
I
and I'm
really want to
glad.
see. There's one there called Pasture the Livestock Simulator, and I've
Yes,
come to
I saw that
have
too.
a great appreciation of livestock. Oh, sorry, of simulator game. I've never played a livestock game before, but simulator games. And just the fact that this will be set in the Australian outback, I can just picture like cattle mustering via helicopter and stuff like that. So I cannot wait to see that. That's going to be so cool to get that off the ground. And that one's from the Northern Territory, so that's really cool. Like I said, that they've come from all over the shop, and very, very glad to see so many games getting some funding to help them on their way through as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I was reading like these games that were included, like the funded games included with this grant, or with this funding, I should say. And I don't know, it just makes me really excited to see like the Australian gaming scene grow more, and all these cool ideas that are coming out of it. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna bookmark all my favorite ones and keep an eye out for them, that's for sure.
Yep, cannot wait. And don't forget as well, if you do see a game that you like, wishlist it, put it on Steam, talk about it, because the way that these games get their metrics for in terms of how many people want it is how many wish lists that they appear on. So the more wish lists that they're on, they can go to people like investors in particular and go, we've got this many people that are looking forward to our game. Can you help us out? And it's a little thing to us, but clicking that button makes a big difference to these devs. So please, if you find a game you like, wishlist it. Right, well, get that new command ready because it's going to happen soon. I'm not saying it yet,
My God,
so not just
here we
yet,
go.
but it will happen. But it was announced yesterday that there will be a Nintendo Direct happening on Friday. So this is kicking off, I think I said earlier, 6 a.m. Australian Western Standard Time, Friday morning, 9 o'clock Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time on Friday there as well. Obviously, same day, same country. Woo. And it's been anticipated for a little while, like. I love Nintendo fans because they will speculate about the most stupidest things. Like the
They do,
last,
though. It's so scary.
well, the last week, like every time I log into Twitter, it's been Nintendo Direct has been trending, and I think, oh, have they announced a Direct? No, it's people speculating that, oh, they normally do a Direct in February, so surely they'll be doing one soon, and showing off some games that are coming up shortly, and then they get disappointed when it doesn't happen. Like that's the funniest thing to me. They build up all this hype. Nintendo doesn't say anything. Nintendo going to do what Nintendo do, and they just don't say a word. But Nintendo fans build themselves up and just get disappointed by their own expectations. And I will admit to being part of that as well. Every time I see something that I really like trending, like as we've been doing this, I've had Twitter on one screen and I've seen the different stuff trending. Like Nintendo Direct's trending at the moment.
What
Advance
are
War,
people?
Advance War was trending for a while there, and I really it took every inch of my control not to click on it to see what was happening there, but it was probably just speculation that this game that's not been heard of since its release got postponed last year might be getting a release. So I would like to see that one on there. And there was Navi was trending, and of course Legend of Zelda, because that's the big one. Everybody was kind of expecting the Nintendo Direct to happen now, because with Tears of the Kingdom coming out in May, they thought that that there would be some gameplay stuff in there as well. So
yeah, interesting.
And this one's gonna be about 40 minutes, focusing on games launching in the first half of 2023. So I want to ask you, Stormy, what do you hope to see from this Direct?
Oh, look, it's a bit of a tricky one. For your sake, I hope you get Zelda. you know, that it's only good news here on out. You know,
do you want to know the funny thing? Now that we've got a release date,
Are you not like as hyped as?
No, I'm still hyped for the game. But now that we've got a release date, I don't really want more information, I guess, because I'm one of those people that. There's people that will go out there and will find every little thing. They'll analyze trailers and go, oh, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. But like once I've got a release date and I've seen a couple of trailers, I'm happy. I want to go in blind to the game with as fewer expectations as possible.
I'm thinking maybe, will we see Kirby? Like the new Kirby maybe?
Given that it's focusing on games that are being released in the first half of 2023,
it's not the first half.
Well, the last Kirby game only came out last year, so I don't think
that was in March.
Yeah, but have they announced another Kirby game?
Haven't they? Am I making things up?
There was Kirby and was it the Forgotten Kingdom? Because everybody
Return to Dreamland, the one that was on the Wii.
Oh, right.
Hold on, give me 2 seconds. Yeah, well apparently it's coming this month.
Oh, well there you go. So maybe we will see more of that one.
Maybe we will. Okay. Yeah. That was a random stab in the dark.
I take back what I said about that now.
I'm on the Nintendo.com saying that it's gonna make its way to Switch February 24th. So maybe we'll see some of that. Because the last we saw or heard of that was in September, from what I can see here. Look, there's nothing that's kind of really springing to mind on my radar at the moment, apart from whether they tease or hint or show a little bit more about, not Breath of the Wild 2, Tears of the Kingdom. Yeah. I'm so used to having that in my head for so long.
Well, and you know what the funny thing is, I don't think Nintendo ever called it Breath of the Wild 2. They always referred to it as the sequel to Breath of the Wild, but everybody just calls it Breath of the Wild 2. Yeah.
Well, while I have a look and see what has been announced coming up, but maybe doesn't have a date, why don't you tell everyone what you're looking for?
Well, there's the obvious, of course, Tears of the Kingdom. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of more footage from that, particularly around Ganon. I'd like to see some more of Ganon and see how, maybe get a little bit of an inkling how he's going to play a role in the the game. But there's one that I harp on about it because I really love the Game Boy Advance games, Advance Wars. I had that pre-ordered as soon as the reboot 1 and 2 came out and was announced for the Switch. And then Nintendo delayed it because it was releasing about the time that the war in Ukraine broke out. So that's fine. But then it's just been radio silence instead. And the only thing you sort of get from reading stuff is that it's sometime in 2023. So I'm hoping for that. I don't think they'll do it, but I would really like some 2D Zelda remakes in the style of the Link's Awakening game that got released a few years ago. Because that really cartoony sort of style I absolutely adored. And I reckon now that they've got that engine, I reckon it would be amazing to remake Zelda 1 and 2 into that. The Oracle games. That was what, because there were two games, Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons that were Zelda games, but they didn't get a very big release. And so I would like to see them sort of bundled with Zelda 1 and 2 on a Switch package. Given that Tears of the Kingdom is so close to being released, I don't think we'll get that, but at some point I would like to get that. And I don't know. Yeah.
So, you know what would be cool?
Yeah.
Wishful thinking. Hades 2. Like, I think it's still very, very early. I think it's very unlikely that they'll show any Hades 2. I was just looking at some other games that have been announced that don't quite have a date yet. There's, I think, the new Super Bomberman 2 as well. Maybe they might tease or bring out a new extended trailer for the Mario movie.
I've got a pitch for you. Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the game.
The game? No. I will be so upset if they announce things like that. I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I feel like we're kind of past the point of, like, big movies having some kind of movie, some kind of game adaptation. Like, there's been okay ones, and then, like, there's some that just aren't good. Yeah. Just give us another, like, big Mario game. We don't need Super Mario Brothers, the movie, the game, I think.
You know what? When I said that, the thing that was running through my head is in the 90s, there was the Street Fighter movie. Jean-Claude Van Damme as Guile, and a few unknowns thrown in as, like, Ken and Ryu. Raul Julia is M. Bison, who does a magnificent job. But to coincide with that, they released a Street Fighter game, but it was Street Fighter, the movie, the game, because there wasn't already, like, five Street Fighters that were out on the Super Nintendo. And it was all, like, all the character models were the people from the movie, but it was nowhere near as good a fighting game. I don't think Nintendo was going to do that. But I wouldn't mind an announcement for a new Mario game, because it's been a few years since we've had Mario Odyssey. So I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that.
Actually, this would be a good time to bring out a new Mario game, not based off the movie, but, like, you're right. After Odyssey, was there a new Mario that wasn't, like, a remake or remaster? I don't think
there
so.
There hasn't been. I guess technically Mario you Rabbids. Could call Bowser's Fury, because they released Mario 3D World with Bowser's Fury, but Bowser's Fury was just like short tacked on thing to 3D World.
But otherwise, not really. It would be nice to see a new Mario game. It would be a good time to market it as well, the movie. So, but maybe that's just wishful thinking. But if they announce it, you heard it here first. We guessed it. We won.
Actually, I have one. After the success of Metroid Dread last year, I would really love to see Metroid Prime 4. Pikmin would, because there's another Pikmin 4 is coming. I'd love to see some stuff on that. There's so many Nintendo titles that are just sort of sitting there and just you're not waiting. hearing too much about it. And would love to. I had it there. It's gone. Oh, Star Fox. Anything Star Fox? I would love to see that.
Star Fox is your second Zelda.
Well, Star Fox is worse, though, because, like, there was the Super Nintendo game, then there was Lilac Wars for us here in the PAL regions, which was Star Fox 64. But then when it came to the GameCube, we got the rebadged Dinosaur Planet, and it turned it into, like, a platformer. I don't know if you've seen this or know much about Star Fox, but the big bad of Star Fox is basically a big head called Andross, and you're in your ship, and you shoot his hands, and you shoot his head, and he dies. But with Star Fox Adventures, all the way through the game, there was this dinosaur bloke that you were fighting against. He was the big bat. And then it got right to the end, and you're gearing up for this fight with this dinosaur guy. And then Andross comes back and basically eats him, and you're back in your ship and fighting. Which was strange, because this game was mainly a platformer, and all of a sudden the final battle's in a ship. It was very, very weird. I think those are probably the big ones for me. Although I did see a comment in Twitch chat from Gamey Game Face about what's your favorite Zelda on the DS, and I got to thinking, no. I would like a 3DS Zelda or even a DS Zelda collection. So we've got, you know, Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks. You got Link Between Worlds. Although I feel Link Between Worlds wasn't that long ago, but then again, Skyward Sword wasn't that long enough, and we've had a HD remaster of that. So I think there's some interesting games that we could get out of that. Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
And I'm not just saying this. I think if they did do like a package or something like that, kind of, are you talking like kind of like how they did Mario 64?
Yeah, and, like the All-Stars. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, as someone who hasn't played that's a lie. I've played like a smidge of Link's Awakening and Breath of the Wild. Someone who hasn't finished one before and would want to play the older ones. Like, I think I would also value that as a new player as well if they did a collection. Yeah.
Having played like Link's Awakening back on the Game Boy when that originally came out, and playing it again on the Switch, like, it's very faithful in the way it controls, but I don't feel like it's like it should have been a release on its own. I feel like it should have been bundled with something. And so that's why I'm kind of excited to see some of those other titles bundled in with it as well. And I don't mind if it's a couple of bundles, because there are a lot of games there when it comes to 2D Zeldas, and I would just love to see it. And particularly around the DS ones, it would take a lot of work to make them work on the Switch.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like you could just use that command like 10 times, because I've mentioned Zelda enough
tonight. Yeah, no, because I was like, I don't think I've put one in yet, like for the most recent, and I was like, no, we'll catch up. We'll wait and see. Will you be up bright and early on Friday?
Well, I actually get up at 6 o'clock to go to work. So I'm normally out of the house about 6:30, so I don't think I'll be able to watch it then, but I'll definitely
You can listen to it like on your way to work, like,
yeah, but listening isn't the same as watching. I'd like to watch it, so I
that's true.
I don't know, I might have to wait till my lunch break before I can watch it.
The suspense.
I know, I just want to know. But very excited for that Nintendo Direct. Very excited for gaming in general. Like, there was so much good stuff going on, particularly Steam. I think there's some form of Games Fest going on at Steam at the moment. Lots of indie games have demos out there, so check that out. Keep an eye on the Game On Oz website for the reviews. I think we've got something coming out about about some various games that might be on there. It's just really cool. Check out all the stuff there. There's so much information going on the Game On Oz website. And don't forget to drop us a follow on YouTube, on Twitch, on whatever podcast platform you're on. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, if you're like me and still use Facebook a little bit. everywhere. And we're quite happy
you
to
can't
know.
You can't escape us.
That's it. We are everywhere. But yeah, we'll really love to see all of you all around the place, and ask us questions. We'd love to hear your thoughts on everything as well. So yeah, do the old thing: like, comment, and subscribe. my God, I can't. I've dug myself into a self promotion hole, and I can't find my way out. Help me, Stormy. Help.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Make sure you catch us on every podcast streaming platform, whatever your favorites are. We're probably on there. We're also on all the socials, as Jim said, as well. And we will see you same time, same place next week.
Yep. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.